Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. May peace and blessings be upon His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we are continuing to learn about Satan, the main enemy of mankind, so that we can protect ourselves against him and save our lives from his corruption. We already learned that Iblis whispered to Adam and his wife to eat from the forbidden tree. So as they obeyed him, they were commanded by Allah to descend from the paradise to earth and to start the eternal battle with Iblis and his offsprings. Actually, on the earth, it was again certain whispers that motivated Qabil to kill his brother Habil. They were both the sons of Prophet Adam. So the first killer on the earth was Qabil, who felt guilty after killing his brother, but it was too late. So it is clear that Satan is the main enemy of mankind. And actually now we will learn from the verses of the Holy Quran about the continuous warning of Allah to every one of us regarding this fact that Iblis or Satan or Shaitan is our plain enemy. We will recite now from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From Surah number 17, verse number 53, in order to learn about the verses of the Quran where Allah reminded us regarding that fact.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, in bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa kul li'ibadi yaqulu allati hiya ahsan, inna ash-shaytan yanzagu baynahum. إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا.
And tell my servants to say that which is best. Indeed, Satan induces dissension among them. Indeed, Satan is ever to mankind a clear enemy.
So actually, sisters, again, Allah is clarifying in this verse of the Quran, as He is mentioning to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to Allah's slaves that a shaitan will try all his ways, okay, in order to make conflict among the Muslims. So we must be aware of this, and actually this fact must be remembered by the Muslims all the time, that it is the shaitan who is actually trying to make the conflict and the disagreement between them all the time. Now, inshallah, we will recite again regarding the same fact from Surah number 43, Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse number 62. Surah number 43, verse number 62. We are learning about the verses of the Quran where Allah is mentioning to us that the shaitan is our plain enemy, so that on the day of judgment there will be no excuse for any of the Muslims when actually Allah will question them why they follow the whispers of the shaitan, and they will mention that they don't know that he was their main enemy. It is repeated many times in the verses of the Quran. There is no way for the excuse from any Muslim. Surah number 43, verse number 62.
ولا يصدنكم الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين.
صدق الله. Surah number 43, verse number 62.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And never let Satan avert you. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy.
So actually, sisters, regarding the right path, let us learn from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the right path. In order to know about it, we will recite again from Surah number 6, verse number 153, to learn about the right path which Allah is commanding us to follow and to be away from the path of Satan. We will recite from Surah number 6, verse number 153. Surah number 6, to know, learn about the right path, inshallah. Surah number 6, verse number 153.
وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ
ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون.
And moreover, this is my path, which is straight, so follow it, and do not follow in other ways, for you will be separated from his way. This has he instructed you, that you may become righteous.
Okay. So, actually, sisters, regarding the meaning of the straight path, which is mentioned in this verse of the Quran, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he drew a line with his hand and said, for example, this line, and said, this is Allah's path, leading straight. He then drew lines to the right and the left of that line, and said, these are other paths, on which path there is a devil who calls to it. So actually, we must be aware of this fact, that the path of Allah is a straight one, which is the path of Islam, the path of belief in Allah's oneness, and the obedience of Allah. If you will not follow the right path, which is the path of obedience of Allah's commands, okay, there are other ways, okay? On each one, there is a devil, and that devil is calling you to follow the other paths or the other ways and not the straight one, which is the way of Allah, which is the way of the belief in His oneness and the way of Islam. So the law is that there is only true right path, which is Islam. Actually, there is only one path, the path of Allah. You either follow it or you are lost. Okay, why you are lost if you don't follow the straight right path? Because on each other passes or ways, there is a devil, okay, calling you all the time to be deviated from the right path. Deviation from the right path means disobedience of Allah and means that you are going astray and you are lost gradually, as we will learn, inshallah, from the coming classes. Now we will recite again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Surah number 6. Surah Al-An'am, verse number, the same surah, but we recite verse number 142 in order to learn again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, about the steps of shaitan and how Allah is commanding us not to follow it.
وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ حَمُولَةً وَفُرْشًا ومن الأنعام حمولة وفرشا كلوا مما رزقكم الله ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And if the grazing livestock are carriers of burdens, and those too small, eat of what Allah has provided for you, and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy.
So actually, sisters, all praise to Allah. We learned now, and it is very clear to every one of us, that message that shaitan is our main blind enemy, and he is on the head of every path other than the right path. So we must be aware of that fact. Now, inshallah, we will continue to learn about a certain temptation with the noble people, that is to say the prophets. We already learned about Prophet Adam, and we learned about his two sons. Today, inshallah, we will learn about two other prophets, and we will learn their story with the shaitan, and we will learn actually who won the battle, the prophet or the shaitan. Now we will learn about Prophet Musa, but before reciting these verses of the Holy Quran, it was mentioned in the books of the meaning of the verses of the Holy Quran, tafsir, that event which we will learn now, it happened before Prophet Musa's meeting with Allah and before he became Allah's messenger. Okay, so that event happened before he became Allah's messenger. So that we will be aware regarding this story, as at the end it was Shaitan who won. Okay, so he won on Prophet Musa before he became Allah's Messenger. Okay, we will recite now from Surah number 28, from verses 15 to 17, in order to learn the battle of Prophet Moses with the Shaitan with Satan. Surah number 28, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 28, we will recite from verse 15 to 17.
ودخل المدينة على حين غفلة من أهلها فوجد فيها رجلين يقتتلان هذا من شيعته وهذا من عدوه فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين قال رب إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي فغفر له إنه هو الغفور الرحيم قال رب بما أنعمت علي فلن أكون ظهيرا للمجرمين.
And he entered the city at a time of inattention by its people, and found therein two men fighting, one from his faction and one from among his enemy. And the one from his faction called for help to him against the one from his enemy. So Moses struck him, unintentionally killed him. Moses said, "This is from the work of Shaitan. Indeed, he is the manifest misleading enemy." He said, "My Lord, indeed I have wronged myself, so forgive me." And he forgave him. Indeed, he is the forgiving, the merciful. He said, "My Lord, for the favor you bestowed upon me, I will never be an assistant to the criminals."
So actually, sister, this is the story of Prophet Moses. Actually, when there was a fight between two people, one from the children of Israel, actually this is the people of Prophet Moses, and the other one from Pharaoh's staff, their enemy. So the man from Moses' people, he appealed to Moses for help. So as Moses struck the enemy, okay, down with his fist, the man died immediately. Immediately, with one only. As Moses punched the man only once, this caused his death, and this is a proof of Moses' physical strength. He was, you know, well built. Actually also it is a proof of his anger and the strength of his opposition to Pharaoh and those of his court. Because, you know, he was full of anger and he doesn't like those people, or he didn't like them, and also because of his very strong physical body, okay, with one fist, the man was killed. Actually, it was clear that Moses was angry with the man, but he didn't intend to kill him. Okay, what is the proof that he didn't intend to kill him? And actually, sister, this is the most important. As we learn in Islam, that actions are but by intention. So the most important in the scale of Allah is your intention, not the action, your intention. Okay, so regarding killing a man or killing a man, okay, the question is, what was the intention of Prophet Moses when he gave him that fist, okay, or struck him with the fist? He was intending to kill him, or it happened without intention? It happened without intention because he said to Allah, "My Lord, verily, I have wronged myself. I didn't mean it. Okay, this was not my intention. I was just trying to help, you know, the man from my people. Okay, and I didn't intend it." And he said to Allah the Almighty, "So forgive me." Okay, so Allah forgave him. Okay, and he said a very important explanation for his anger and for this wrong action that he did. He said that this is Shaitan's doing. Okay, he put all the blame on the Shaitan. This means that out of the whispers of the Shaitan, he was very angry. He was not actually aware of what he is doing or what he was doing, and that was the cause of killing the man. So Allah appealed, so he appealed to Allah for forgiveness, clarifying that he has certainly wronged himself by obeying Satan's whispers, and now he is asking Allah's forgiveness. So he felt that Allah, the Most Merciful, accepted his forgiveness. And again, sisters, when Allah gave you the feeling or put for you the feeling that he accepted your forgiveness, this means that, inshallah, your intention was good. When you did that mistake, maybe you were not aware, maybe you were under the influence of other people, but your intention was not bad, okay? Maybe you don't know that this is forbidden by Allah the Almighty. So Allah the Almighty accepted his forgiveness, and he felt such acceptance. So Musa made a firm pledge, considering this is a part of his gratitude for Allah's favor. Okay? He promised Allah that he will never do that again. Okay? From this event, it is clear to us that Satan's whispers are so strong and continuous at the time of anger. And inshallah, we will have some classes about anger and anger management, because actually, while you are angry, this means that you are under full control of shaitan. Okay, and only Allah knows what you will do. Okay, and actually this is something known, you know, for many people whom we always feel that they are very calm people, you know, and we like those people, but sometimes it turns that, you know, they are the people whom, when they are angry, they are under the influence of shaitan. One of those people is Omar al-Sharif, the very famous actor. He is known for his anger. When he is angry, he can do anything. Once he starts beating, you know, the guard of one of the hotels because he was not allowing him in. And the people were telling him, you are Omar al-Sharif, don't do this. This is, you know, you are not supposed to beat, you know, the guard. But, you know, this is how the shaitan is controlling us while we are angry, and why, how he will manipulate every one of us to express our anger in a form of harming the people around you. Okay, inshallah, we will learn about this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, it is again the same words which Prophet Musa said, as Prophet Adam and his wife said before regarding obeying Satan's whispers. They said, O Lord, we have certainly wronged ourselves, so forgive us. So again and again, sisters, let us learn these words from the Holy Quran. When you feel that you did a mistake, okay, immediately, you want to prove to Allah that you are very upset, you didn't mean it, it was not my intention, I don't want to be a sinner. Immediately learn these words. My Lord, I had certainly wronged myself, so forgive me. Okay, these are the words of the Holy Quran, these are the messages which Allah is teaching us. They were mentioned before on the tongue of Prophet Adam and his wife. Again, they are mentioned now on the tongue of Prophet Musa. My Lord, I had certainly wronged myself, so forgive me. If you learn these words and you keep on repeating them, inshallah, by time you will be aware that I don't want to be a sinner because Allah will be angry with me, or I will not be good in the sight of Allah, and I must repent to Allah and ask Allah's forgiveness. Actually, this is the noble character of the prophets, to repent and ask Allah's forgiveness after every mistake. Today, inshallah, we will learn about another prophet whom the shaitan tried to deviate him from the way of Allah by all the means, but the prophet whom we will learn about today, he won the battle with the shaitan. Actually, this is Prophet Ayub. In English, his name is Job. We will recite now from Surah number 38, verse number 41 to 44, in order to learn about that prophet who won the battle with the shaitan. Surah number 38, verse number 41 to 44.
واذكر عبدنا أيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الشيطان بنصب وعذاب اركض برجلك هذا مغتسل بارد ووهبنا له أهله ومثلهم معهم رحمة منا وذكرى لأولي الألباب.
وخذ بيدك ضغثا فاضرب به ولا تخنف إنا وجدناه صابرا نعم العبد إنه أواب.
الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And remember our servant Job, when he called to his Lord, indeed Satan has touched me with hardship and torment. So he was told, strike the ground with your foot. This is a spring for a cool bath and drink, and we are granted him his family and a like, with them as mercy from us and a reminder for those of understanding. We said, and take in your hand a bunch of grass and strike with it and do not break your oath. Indeed, we have found him patient and excellent servant. Indeed, he was one repeatedly turning back to Allah.
So actually, sisters, let us learn about Prophet Job and his story and his battle with the shaitan. Actually, Prophet Job is a symbol of patience in adversity. Okay, his story and his steadfastness in face of severe test is well known and often cited as an example of patience in adversity. Actually, whenever you mention patience, it is Prophet Ayub, okay, or Prophet Job. This is something written, something known for all the Muslims. And whenever anyone is facing a severe hardship, the people will tell to that person, be patient. Remember Prophet Job and actually his life events, and which we will learn about it now. Job was a good servant of Allah who always turned to Allah in submission. Allah tested him and he remained patient. It seems that the test he faced actually entailed the loss of his wealth, his family, and his health. And actually regarding Prophet Ayub, it was written in many of the meaning of the verses of the Quran, a lot of stories from the books of, you know, At-Tawrah. Okay, and now they are trying not to follow these stories, okay, and they are trying just to give you the summary of the story because they are not sure that this knowledge is correct or not. Okay, but what we learn in certainty that he lost everything. He lost his wealth, he lost his family, and he lost his health. And I want you sisters to imagine the severity of his hardship, okay? Because whenever any one of us has any disease, maybe for short time or long time, we will consider that this is the end of life. Okay, this is for the health. And if every one of us unfortunately lost $100, this is also the end of this life. Okay, or if there is a car accident or whatever, this is the end of life. But still you have, you know, an apartment, even if it is rent, but still you have a place to live in, you have food, you have health, you just lost the car, okay, or whatever you lost, okay, amount of money. But that person, he lost everything. He lost all the wealth, in spite of the fact he was very rich, but he lost all his wealth, he lost all his health totally. He was bedridden completely, okay? And also he lost all his family. He lost his kids and all the family except his wife, okay? But in spite of being tested very severely, he maintained his bond with Allah, trusting to Allah, and was satisfied with what Allah had given him. He never complained. He never complained. This is the story of Prophet Adam, which we need to learn, sisters, from the depths of the heart. And this is actually the messages of cure from the Holy Quran. Because Allah mentioned that the Quran is the book of cure. How the Quran will cure my spirit? The Quran will cure my spirit when I learn about those people whom they were tested very severely by loss of everything, but still he never complained to Allah. For 18 years, okay, he was in that test and he never complained to Allah. He had a few well-wishers who remained faithful to him, including his wife. Okay, his wife and two friends were still around him. But Shaitan tried to convince these people that if Allah loved Job, so why he is subjecting him to such a severe situation for very long time? The meaning is that had Allah loved Job, he wouldn't have subjected him to such a severe hardship. When they told Job these words, his friends and his wife, they went to him and they mentioned to him these words. Why Allah is exposing you to very long test, very severe one, while you are supposed to be an obedient servant. Okay? Actually, these words were harder to him than the test itself. Okay? His wife spoke to him, repeating some of such whispers, and he was very upset. He swore that should Allah restore his health, he would beat her up, specifying the number of times he would hit her, which is said to be 100 times. So this means that when, you know, she kept on repeating, why Allah is testing you? Why you are subject to this very long test? Why? So he became very upset. So he swore that when Allah will restore my health, I will beat you 100 times. At this point, Job called on Allah about the trouble of the shaitan whispers regarding those whom they are close to him. And as he suffered for 18 years, it was proof of his patience and sincerity. So at that point, when he called on Allah, and we will learn now about his answered supplications, which were mentioned actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Surah number 22, verse number 43 and 44. Let us learn about his answered supplication, which Allah answered to Prophet Job. Surah number 22, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 21, Surah Al-Anbiya. We will recite now from verse Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim 81 and 82. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim 83 and 84. We will recite now from Surah number 21, verse 83 and 84, to learn about the answered supplications of Prophet Ayyub when he called on Allah regarding his long-term suffering.
وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرُّ وآتيناه أهله ومثلهم معهم رحمة من عندنا وذكرى للعابدين.
صدق الله. It's your turn. 83 and 84.
And mentioned Jacob when he called to his Lord, indeed adversity has touched me, and you are the most merciful of the merciful. So we responded to him and removed what afflicted him of adversity, and we gave him back his family and the like thereof with them as mercy from us and a reminder for the worshippers of Allah.
So actually, sister, these are the words which Prophet Job called on Allah with. When he called in Allah, he said to Allah, distress has seized me, and you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. So again, sisters, you are learning, you know, the way to call on Allah. This is a man who lost everything, and he was bedridden for 18 years. All the people left him. Even his wife was all the time questioning him about this long-term hardship. But when he called on Allah, he said to, he didn't complain from Allah's, from Allah. He said, distress has seized me. It is the problem of the distress, not Allah. Okay? And then regarding Allah, he said to Allah, you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. And again, sisters, we are learning the way to call on Allah. Even when you are facing very difficult hardship, okay, don't call on Allah saying to Allah, Allah, oh Allah, why you are giving me this hardship? Oh Allah, why you write on me to live this very difficult life? Oh Allah, I don't like your decree. Oh Allah, why me? Why me specially facing all of these difficulties? Okay, this is wrong way to call on Allah.
I do think sometimes when something difficult happens, it's hard to say Alhamdulillah,
yes,
when
is difficult.
Yes.
It's hard.
Yes.
How do you do?
Yes, I tell you, Safiya, during the time of hardships, as we are very weak human beings, okay, Allah is not looking for you to say all praise to Allah, alhamdulillah. But Allah is looking for you to accept, not to complain, okay, just to accept Allah's decree. Okay, it is very difficult for normal Muslim, okay, to say all praise to Allah, or for any human being, okay, to say all praise to Allah when you are facing hardship, because it is difficult for you. But this is not what Allah is looking for from you. During the hardship, just accept it. Acceptance plus patience. Okay? Not to complain from Allah, because complaining from Allah meaning that, you know, you don't agree with Allah's plans. Why you put me in this trouble? This is very difficult for me. So this means that, you know, you are equal to Allah. You can plan better than Allah. And this is totally wrong. And this is causes Allah's anger. And the problem will be more complicated. But when you call on Allah, and actually this is the known. We always, in the classes and in Islam, we are commanded to teach these words and the way how Prophet Job called on Allah. And to learn it. And actually, you can memorize this, okay? And whenever you face any hardship, just to call on Allah saying, verily, distress has seized me, and you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. Okay? Keep the feeling that Allah is the most merciful, because the only one who will solve the problem is Allah. And I want to keep the bond with him in the best shape. So I must send the message to myself that Allah is the most merciful. And as he planned for me that hardship, he is the only one who can make for me an outlet from it. So I must call him with the names which he like, and one of them is the most merciful. Okay? And in order to know the effect of the way of calling on Allah, you will know it from verse number 84. Allah is saying, so we answered his call and we removed the distress that was on him. Now we will learn, you know, in details how Allah removed it in a second. Okay, so that we can learn the way to call on Allah and to communicate with Allah at the time of distress, so that inshallah Allah will make for us an outlet. So these are the two verses of the Quran which is the way Prophet Ayyub called on Allah. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we will continue to learn. As he called on Allah after 18 years of suffering, Allah the Almighty said that he answered his call. What happened? I want you to focus on this, sisters, because this is actually the depth of the meaning of the Holy Quran. This is how you can be very close to Allah at the time of the very severe hardship. Okay? Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah bestowed his grace on him, ending his test and restoring his health. How? Allah ordered him to hit the ground with his leg. Okay? Just like this, okay? And a cool spring would gush forth. He was to wash himself with the water and drink from it. This was enough for him to recover his health. We will recite this verse again, okay, from the same surah, Surah Sad, surah number, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 38. Okay, we will return again to the same verses so that you can get, you know, the lesson for yourself in your worldly life regarding shaitan whispers and regarding how to have an end for our hardships. In verse number 42, Allah said to him, verse number 42, strike the ground with your foot. This is a spring of water to wash in, cool and a refreshing drink. Okay? And actually, sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And also, okay, in verse number 43, Allah said, and we gave him back his family, okay, and along with them the like thereof as a mercy from us and a reminder for those who understand. Okay, actually there were some reports that Allah gave him similar number of sons as those whom he lost. So this means that he had his health again, and he had his family again, and also Allah gave him more wealth as an additional favor. So this means that Allah, out of his mercy and generosity, he returned to him everything. Okay? So the question is, before knowing about the question, let us continue the story regarding his wife. Also, Allah bestowed His grace on Job and his wife with regard to the oath He had made about beating her. She had looked after him during his days of hardship, and also she was patient during their adversity. Therefore, Allah ordered him to take in his hand a bunch of light dried sticks, 100 dried sticks, and to hit her with the bunch once only. Okay, so it was very light, okay, strike. In this way, he would fulfill his oath. Okay, such care and blessings were in return for what Allah knew of his patience in adversity. He being a model of obedience, always turning to Allah for support. We will recite now from the same surah, again verse number 44. Allah said, "Truly we found him patient, how excellent a slave, verily he was ever of returning in repentance." Okay, so actually, sister, these are the lessons which we want to learn from this story and from the battle of Prophet Job with the Shaitan. Actually, in this case, Prophet Job, he defeated Shaitan. And he defeated the trials of the Shaitan to deviate him from being patient with Allah's decree. And let us focus and learn the secret of Allah's mercy at the time of adversity, the secret that we all need in the test of the worldly life. Our worldly life is a test, and it is full of repeated hardships and adversity. So we want to learn from the book of cure how to have the end of every adversity. Okay? In this story, Prophet Job was in very difficult situation for 18 years. A man who lost everything. Okay? And Shaitan tried with the very few people around him. This means that the Shaitan, he tried to close the circle completely on him. After losing everything, even if you have some people to take care of you, they will not take care of you. Okay? And in spite of the time factor and the severity of hardship, Prophet Job remained patient, never complaining, accepting Allah's decree. And let us, sister, now try to learn from the Holy Quran. Number one, regarding the time factor for the hardship. Every one of us, when any hardship starts in her life, in the same second, she will start to complain. Immediately. For suppose now I start to have pain in my leg. In the same second, "Oh Allah, I have pain in my leg. Oh Allah, why I have pain in my leg? Oh Allah, I was not supposed to have pain in my leg. Oh Allah, when that pain will end? Oh Allah, I am very upset. Oh Allah, I will start to cry. Oh Allah, I am not happy with this. Oh Allah, I don't deserve this." 1 second. Second day, it will be more complicated. Oh Allah, now for 24 hours I am in pain. Why I am in pain? I am not happy with this. I want to get rid of pain. Oh Allah, I will not eat, I will not drink, I don't want to answer my phone, I am very upset, I am in pain. And compare it when we have loss of any of our worldly materialistic issues. Immediate complaining, continuous complaining, increase the severity of complaining, and gradually not agreeing with Allah's plan. In the depth of our hearts, I am not happy with what is going on, and I don't think this is what Allah was supposed to do with me. This is not good. Okay, this is how most of the people actually are facing Allah's decree. And sisters, this is the way that your adversity will never end. It will be more complicated. It started with some pain, okay? But unfortunately, because of your continuous complaining, it will turn, instead of being minor illness, it will be a major illness. And you will keep on complaining, there will be no treatment for you. And you will keep on complaining, okay? You will be far from Allah, and only Allah knows how your life will end. Still a believer or not? This means that you will lose everything. Why? Because you are complaining from Allah's decree from day one. Okay? Always remember this story. A man for 18 years who lost everything, he never complained until Allah the Almighty, okay, Allah the Almighty, he made him to call on him, or he gave him the idea to call on him, or until he called on Allah, okay. So you are learning the way, okay, to handle the hardship, never to complain. Complaining equals complicating more and more of the hardship. Because complaining means that Allah's plans are wrong. If you mention this message to Allah, you deserve a punishment. Complicating of your hardship. Okay, and if you try to think of what I am mentioning to you now, this is exactly what is happening in our life. Okay, I am not happy that I have a car accident today because my car was broken. Okay, tomorrow you will have a phone call that the woman whom you hit with your car is in the hospital and she is asking for compensation $500,000. Go and pay it. Actually, we have a friend whom he hit another car, okay, and after a month he had a call, okay, and he was a physician also. It was a call that the woman whom she was in the other car, she has a problem in her spinal cord and she needs compensation with $500,000. And he sold his house and his car and every, yes, he had to pay or he will be in the jail. This is her right, yes. Okay, after having a lawyer and everything.
But he has insurance, right?
But still he did a mistake. This is not related to the insurance.
Oh.
You know, he did a mistake, you know, and now the insurance will not pay $500,000, $500,000. He sold everything. He was living in Boston. He left Boston. He sold the house. The house was $300,000. He sold the two cars and everything. Okay? Because when the problem started, it was just car accident. No. Oh Allah, why? Why I have a car accident? Why my car is not good? Why I hit another car? Okay, no problem. Wait and see. Okay, so sisters, we must learn this is the facts in the relation with Allah the Almighty. Acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. Okay, so number one, Prophet Job, he accepted all, you know, the loss in his life. Number two, he was patient. And in Islam, we learned the beautiful patience. What is the beautiful patience? It is the patience without complaining. But I have the right to cry. I have the right not to be in the excellent mood. But I am not complaining with my tongue at all. If someone will come and tell me what is the problem, okay, I will tell her, you know, this is also something to learn in Islam. If you are living in a good situation and someone will ask you, how are you? You say, all praise to Allah. If you are living, hardship and someone will come and ask you, how are you? You say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise to Allah on all circumstances. And if the other person already knew about Islam, she will realize that you are living a hardship. Because you said, all praise to Allah on all circumstances. This means that there is a problem in the circumstances, but still, when someone will ask you, you say, all praise to Allah, alhamdulillah. This is what we are commanded to say as Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings upon him, taught us. But between me and myself, I have the right to cry. I have the right to regret what happened. I have the right to be upset, but not to complain. Okay? Now, this is regarding the time factor. So all the time, sisters, try to be patient. And in order to be patient, how you can be patient during the time of the hardship? Look around. Look around you. Look to the medical center. Okay, and actually I learned patience when I was working in the hospitals. When I always look around me, I was a pediatrician, and actually I learned that there are kids whom, since they were born, until they are living their life on the earth, they are in the hospital. They are never out. they have some congenital abnormalities, okay, so they can't move well, okay, so they will be kept all the time. The hospital is their home. So if you try to think it over, the hospital is the home. No. All praise to Allah. My problem is less. Those whom they are born deaf-mute, what about them and what about their parents or blind? Okay, and actually if you want more and more to be patient, okay, at night close all the lights. Sometimes I did like this. Close all the light in the room and close the door so that it is totally dark. And start to move as a blind person. You can't imagine how it is extremely difficult, because you will feel how you are helpless. I can't move one step because I will fall down or I will be, you know, pushed by anything. So at that moment, put the light on and prostrate to Allah, because you have your vision. You can see. So any problem is less than this. Any problem, inshallah, had a solution. So all the time try to move to the direction that I am patient. Inshallah, I am patient. I will try to be patient. If there are people around you whom they like to ask questions, be away from them at the time of diversity, because they will be like shaitan. They will keep on asking you, why you? Why all the time you are the one? What is the meaning of this? So they will move your shaitan. And your shaitan will whisper to you to complain from Allah. Okay, so this is regarding, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the patience of Prophet Job. There is another message in these verses of the Quran which actually is very important, and it is very deep for everyone to learn, and inshallah it is a way for cure of the spirits. When Prophet Job was sick for 18 years and he suffered a lot, and at a time he called on Allah, immediately Allah commanded him to do something which is very simple: to hit the ground with his leg. This means that the water was there, but the time didn't come yet. So what is the message which you learn? And I want you, while I am mentioning to you these words, to remember a similar story. A story of hardship. When Allah the Almighty planned the solution and the outlet, okay, He sent the angel with his wing to hit the ground, and Zamzam came up. Yeah. Try to remember the same story. There is a link between the two stories, which, you know, every one of us need to learn. Okay? In the story of Hajar, okay, she was alone in the desert with her baby, and they were about to die. They were about to die. And she ran between As-Safa and Al-Marwa, and at the seventh time, she was very tired. At that moment, Allah the Almighty sent Angel Jibreel, and he hit the ground with his wing, and then the water flew up. And she was just looking for little water. Allah sent for her what? Zamzam, you know, well, for until the day of judgment. The same story happened with Prophet Job. He was sick for a very long time. Allah can give him the cure after 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. Oh Allah, why 18 years? Because this is the time of Allah. So you must learn that there is a time up to Allah to solve your problem. There is the time, is there. If you are patient, you will reach it, inshallah. And Allah will solve your problem, and Allah will give you more. But if you are not patient, in the middle of the way, before the time of Allah, this is the time of Allah. No one can know it. No one can predict it. Okay? Allah can make it very quick. Allah can make it very late. Okay? It is up to Allah's time. So if you learn this, that for those two people whom they faced very difficult hardship, there was a time of Allah to solve their problem, to put an end and to reward them. So why you are not patient with Allah's plan, with Allah's time, and why you listen to shaitan whisper? Okay, because the shaitan will never make you patient at all. This is one of the rules of the shaitan. Okay, and Allah said in the Holy Quran about the human being, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Human beings were created in a way that they want everything to be done quickly. I am sick, I want a cure. I am poor, I want money. I am not good, I want to, you know, everything. This is how Allah created us, and the shaitan is using that character in every one of us, okay, to deviate us from Allah. You see how Allah is solving the problem of everyone, not your problem. Why you are patient? Why you are patient? Complain from Allah. Okay, so I want you, sister, to learn this very important lesson. There is a time to end your hardship. Allah is the most merciful. Just be patient, and inshallah you will win your battle with the shaitan. We will make the dua. Inshallah, next week we'll make the dua, and inshallah we will continue next week. Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.